Says the Gemara, today's shiur is daf chaf gimel m'sach the kedushin. We will begin on daf chaf beis on beis, three lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara of Yehuda Hindor. Yehuda was from Ethiopia. He was a ger she'en la yorshim. And as we have learned many times, the halacha is gershin is gayer kikotin shenay ladami. Halachically, a ger has no relationship to anyone who was his relative prior to his gerus. So if Rabbi Yehuda Hindor passes away without having any children, he's left without any yorshim. Because, as the Mefarshim obviously explained, the only one that could have a situation in Klal Yisrael that he should have no relatives is a ger. Because everyone else, everybody who's born as a Jew, has some relatives, some close relative, sometimes that's on a further relative, but he has a relative. Yehuda Hindor was a ger she'en lo yorshim. Says the Gemara, have a cholish. Yehuda Hindor was very ill. O mazutra l'shiulibe. So mazutra came to visit him. Chazya the takaf alei almatuva. He saw that his situation was very bad. Amalei la'avdei. Shloifli mesnoi v'amtina lebeisam. The halacha is, as we just said, if the sker passes away without leaving any yorshim, all of his property is hefker, and whoever is the first to seize it, owns it. The only exception to that rule is an eved. Because if the owner of the eved were to die, the eved automatically becomes ownerless. And who becomes the owner of the Eved himself. Mazutra saw this situation, and Mazutra wanted to create a situation that at the moment of death, at the moment that Yehuda Hindor died, at that moment he was taking possession of the Eved, and that the Eved would never come to a status that he was left ownerless, that he could take possession of himself. So the easiest way of learning the Gemara is that you can't exactly figure out what moment the person is going to die. So Mazutra is seeing that Yehuda Hindor is about to pass away, but not knowing exactly what moment, told this Eved to do a prolonged act of work on his behalf, figuring that during this time that he'll do this entire job, that's when Yehuda Hindor will pass away. And that's why the Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is, he told him, carry my shoes to my home, which should take a while, carrying the shoes. And during that time, Rabbi Yehuda will die, and since he's working on behalf of Mazutra, Mazutra will take ownership. That's the simplest way of learning the Gemara. However, there are Mefarshim that don't agree with this approach in understanding the Gemara. For they say that the carrying of the shoes itself is not an act of kinyan. The act of kinyan is the taking off the shoes. Just carrying the shoes itself is not an act of kinyan. So they say that he was able to estimate when Rabbi Yehuda passed away, or was about to pass away. He says, at that moment, take off my shoes, and then I want you to carry the shoes home for me, so that will publicize that I was the one that seized you, that was kind of you, at the moment Rabbi Yehuda passed away, and like that, nobody will contest it. Everybody will recognize you are my Eved. Along the same lines, there's a concept in halacha of ani hamahapach b'charora. Ani hamahapach b'charora is that if I'm in the middle of negotiating a deal, no one else should move in and try to take that deal away from me. So that's what he was trying to say. He's saying, I am intending to be kind of this Eved, and therefore no one else should interfere. Ikadamri, there are some that suggest Godel Hava, that this Eved was a Godel, and therefore, as we just explained, it was important for him to be kind to him before, as Rabbi Yehuda Hindor was passing away, because if Rabbi Yehuda Hindor will pass away without Mazutra being kind to him, he'll be kind to himself and it's too late, and therefore, by doing what he did, Zeh Pirush Lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda Hindor passed away, Zeh Pirush Lechayim, and the Eved became the servant of Mazutra. Vikad Amri, another version has it, that he was a cotton. That actually, devil was a cotton, with the like Abishol. This is Rashi's version of the Gemara, and he did not follow what Abishol holds. The Tanya, Ger Shemes, if a Ger passes away, or Bizbisu Yisrael Nechosov, and as we learned earlier, Yisraelim have a right to seize his assets, V'hoi ben Avodim, and amongst those assets were Avodim ben Gedolim ben Ketanim, whether they're adults or minors, Kana Atzma ben Echayim. If at the moment of death, they become ownerless, and they're kind of themselves. Abishol says, Gedolim, Kano Atzmon, the Gedolim Taka, are kind of themselves if no one else is doing an act of kinyan at the moment of their owner's death. Kano Atzma ben Echayim. Ketanim, Kolamach ben Zoch ben, since a cotton doesn't have the ability to be kind of himself, so even if at the moment of death, no one was kind of them, says the Gemara according to this version, he's still not kind of himself. A cotton doesn't have the ability to be kind of himself, and it's the and therefore, even if later on someone else comes and is kind of him, it will be an effective kinyan. So Mefarshim ask, how can we suggest that a cotton doesn't have the ability to be kind of himself? We've seen halacha that ketanim have the ability to participate in a kinyan. We know, we discussed it, comes sukkahs. So we discussed that somebody could give over his dalad and minim to a cotton. The only issue is that you could give it to him, he could be kind of it. The question is, can he give it back to you? So why is the Gemara saying here that ketanim can't do a kinyan? So I saw two pshat. One pshat is that the only time a cotton has the ability to do a kinyan is when das acheres makna, when there's a buyer and a seller, which is the example by the dalad and minim. Someone is giving the dalad and minim to the cotton. In our Gemara, there's only the cotton. There's no one else. Without a das acheres, ketanim don't have ability to do kinyan. Another pshat that I saw is that really ketanim don't have the ability to participate in a kinyan. Only under certain circumstances that Chazal legislate that they have that ability. This is not one of those situations where Chazal gave them that ability. Pnei Yeshua asks a question. He says, Al Gemara brings down two versions. If this Eved was a Gadol or a Katan. So he says, these two versions are mutually exclusive. He couldn't have been a Gadol or a Gadol. It's one or the other. So how do we understand two different versions that one is incorrect? Says the Pnei Yeshua, the way to understand the Gemara is that the Gemara is not speaking to a specific story that the Gemara knows exactly what happened. The Gemara is saying, we're not exactly sure what happened. If this is what happened, then this is the halachic ramifications, and that's what happened, those are the halachic ramifications. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah, a machloikis of Rameya and the Chachamim, how can Eved get released? So the Mishnah first quoted the opinion of Rameya, the koines atzmoi bekesef ayidei acherim. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, bekesef ayidei acherim in, only if someone else provides the money, he can't provide the money himself. Why can't he provide the money himself? As we'll discuss much more as we get deeper into the Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, because the Eved doesn't have the ability to have his own money, because kol ma shekana Eved, kana rabbi. Ask the Gemara, b'may iskinim, ilema shloim edatay. So obviously we're explaining the Mishnah, that's not that the Eved gave his owner money. The Eved doesn't have any money to give. Someone else gave the money on behalf of the Eved. And what is the situation? Is it Shaloi Medatoi without the knowledge and consent of the Eved? Ask the Gemara. Nichti. Shemana Le Rameya. Rameya teaches us in the beginning of Masech the Gittin. Dama Choyv Hu Eved. Shiyetz Miad Rabbi L'Cheres. Rameya is of the opinion that an Eved leaving his owner is not to his benefit. Why? So as the Gemara explains in Masech Gittin, your first reason would be to think, because the owner feeds him. That can't be the reason, because we know the owner could tell an Eved, I won't feed you. So then you'll say, maybe because the Eved is the Eved of a Kohen, and the Eved of a Kohen is entitled to Truma. But that also can't be the reason, that it should be a Schus. Why? Because the owner could always sell him, and then he won't be an Eved Kohen. It must be because he'll be a free man. And that's
what do you call it? It's a schus to be free. It's why? So why is it a chayv? So says the Gemara, because Rameya holds that if he's an Eved, he's allowed to be married to a Shifcha. If he gets freed, he's not allowed to be married to a Shifcha. And the Eved likes to be married to a person like him, to a Shifcha. That's why Rameya holds it's a chayv. And the Tanina, we know what our luck is. Zochel Adam Shloi Befanov, I could make a benefit for you without your consent. Then Chovim Alav Befanov. But to do something which is not to your benefit, I can't do without your consent. Mefarshim dispute what is the mechanism of Zochel Adam Shloi Befanov. Some say it's Shlichus. It works with a lumdus of Shlichus. That if you do something that's to my benefit, you become my Shliach. I never appointed you as my Shliach. We're sure that I would have appointed you as a shliach to do something that's to my benefit. Others explain that it's not a concept of shlichus, it's considered yad. You become an extension of myself. The Rishonim, actually the Rishonim more Masech the Gittin, discuss, so according to Rameya, it's a chayv. It's not to the Eved's benefit to be freed. The Rambaran, as we're going to learn in a couple of moments, hold that it is actually a schus. So Mefarshim debate, how could they have a machlokes if it's a schus or a chayv? Is it a schus or is it a chayv? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. The first pshat is a fascinating pshat. Nothing in life is perfect. Nothing in life is perfectly good, and nothing in life is perfectly bad. And that's exactly what's happening between here, the Rabbeinu and the Chachamim. Everybody agrees that Eved would prefer to live with a shifcha. Also, everybody agrees that Eved would prefer to be free. So now you have two conflicting issues here. Is it better that the Eved should be able to live with a shifcha and remain an Eved? Or is it better that he should be free and lose the ability to be married to a shifcha? The Rabbanan say that Eved would prefer to be free even if it means not being able to live with a shifcha. And Rameya says that Eved would prefer to live with a shifcha even if it means still being an Eved. So we have these two conflicting approaches, and that's where it's relevant, is according to Rabbanan, it's a schus to go free, according to Rameya, it's a chayv. Another pshat speaks to the mechanism of freeing an Eved. Rameya holds that it's a package deal. The Eved becomes free, he can no longer live with a shifcha, all the various dinim. And therefore, since amongst what will happen to him, that he will no longer be able to live with a shifcha, which is not to his benefit, we can't call it a tzchus. The Rabbanan say, shichrur, freeing an Eved, doesn't mean that he can't live with a shifcha. Freeing an Eved means that the Eved is free. There are repercussions of being free. Different repercussions. But that's not what freeing means. Freeing means being free. And therefore, according to Rabban, freedom is great. So again, if we're referring to a situation where people off-paid the owner without the Eved's knowledge and consent, how would it be acceptable? El pshita, it must be the midatoi, that the Eved consented that they should pay to get him free. And what is the Mishnah teaching us? Vok mashmon, aidei echerim in, only if others offer the money on his behalf, can he become free? Aidei atzmai loy. But he can't have his own money because Alma ain't kinyan l'eved b'loy rabbi. And as the Tosfos, Yeshanim Tosfos, quotes the Tosfos, Yeshanim explains that really we understood this from the beginning, that the Mishnah either is referring to such a situation. What the Gemara did here is it focused in on the Mishnah and sharpened and helped us understand that according to Rameh, the only way Kesef works is if other people give the money with the consent of the Eved. Continues the Gemara. The next case that Rameyu spoke about is B'shtar Aydei Atzmai. Hiyach B'shtar Aydei Atzmai. Aydei Atzmai in, with, if we learn the Mishnah, it seems to be teaching us that only if the Eved himself receives the shtar, Aydei Cherem Loi, but somebody else can receive the shtar on his behalf. Ask the Gemara, V'imidatoi, if our Mishnah we just finished explaining is referring to a situation where the Eved gave his consent, why can't somebody else pick up the shtar on behalf of the Eved if the Eved agrees? And what will you say? when we say that the Mishnah is referring to Aidei Atzmai, it doesn't mean specifically Aidei Atzmai. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us is Af Aidei Atzmai, V'Hokamashmalan, the Gita V'Yadoi, Boin Ke'echad, which means as follows, as the Mepharshim explained. Aidei Kesef, we just explained that the Eved cannot receive the Kesef himself. Why can't the Eved receive the Kesef himself? Because it accomplishes nothing. Kamashikon Eved Kone Rabbi. The Shtar, the Eved could receive himself. How does the Eved have the ability to be Makabal a Shtar himself? There's a concept of Gitoi V'yodei Barin Kechon. We discussed this many times in Masechta Gittin, that they both happen at the exact same moment. And that's why he could accept it by himself. So the Mepharshim help us understand this concept of Gita V'yodei Barin Kechad. There's a Sefer Imrei Moshe that helps us understand it. Because, as he says, even though we say Gita V'yodei Barin Kechad, we never would say Chatzera V'shtari Barin Kechad, which means like this. Let's say I sell you a property, and the kinyan is done through a shtar. Could anybody suggest that if I deposit the shtar in the chatzer, it should be a valid kinyan? No. So why do we say Gita V'yodei Barin Kechad, and we don't say Chatzera V'shtari Barin Kechad? So then Rimash explains, the mechanism of how a get, whether it's a get isha or a get shikhr work, versus the mechanism how every shtar kinyan work are very different. A shtar kinyan, there are two steps. First is a kinyan, and then the kinyan creates a chalois. That means if I'm selling you a property, first we have the first step is that we have a kinyan, and after there's a kinyan, the property becomes yours. So I can't affect the kinyan if it's not given in your chotzer. I could only make a kinyan if I give it to you, or I give it to your chotzer, not in my chotzer. A get, it's not a two-step approach, he explains. The first is a get, and then the get creates a situation. The get is the situation, and therefore by gitoy, whether it's get shechur or get isha, we could say gitoy v'yodei barin kechad. In fact, I saw the Mepharshim explain, we see this concept of barin kechad in another area. The halach is, one can't be a moil if he doesn't have a bris milah himself. So the question is, how could an Avraham Avinu made a bris milah for himself? He wasn't a person that had a bris milah. We know the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu did the milah on himself. It's again the concept of barin kechad. He made the milah and was considered the malad at the exact same moment. Ask the Gemara. So now the way we're explaining the Mishnah regarding shtaroi, the Eved himself or someone else with his consent to pick up the shtar on his behalf. The Braisa doesn't say this. The Tanya, the Braisa clearly teaches us, only he can pick up the shtar, says the Ma'amar. The shtar is being picked up without his consent. The kesef is being picked up without his consent. Vishani kesef. Explains Rashi and all the Rishonim. Kesef works by karcha. Why does Kesef work by karcha by an Eved? Because let's say I own an Eved. I'm the full-fledged owner. If I want to sell that Eved to someone else, the Eved can't stop me. So since Kesef works by karcha, therefore, even if the Eved doesn't consent, the halacha is that the Eved has to, the kesef will work even shlei medatoi if somebody else pays for his release. Says the Gemara, if that's the concept that we're applying by Eved, that since he could be sold by karcha, that's why even if we don't have his consent, someone could pay for his freedom, so then yach shtar nami, someone should be able to pick up the shtar on his behalf also without his consent. Says the Gemara, hashtar al-chud v'hashtar al-chud. You can't compare a shtar get to a shtar kinyan. A shtar shikhur cannot be, you can't compare the two. Hachanami says the Gemara, if you're going to take that approach, so high kaspel chud for high kaspel chud, just because he could be sold against his will, he shouldn't be able to be redeemed against his will. Answers the Gemara, tivamiyacharhu. Money is money. A dollar bill is a dollar bill. So if a dollar bill could be used by karchoy to sell the Eved, then dollar bill could be used to free the Eved Bal Karcha. It's the same dollar bill. On the other hand, the shtar, a shtar kinyan of an eved, which can be done by karchoi, an owner could sell his eved without his permission, is not the same shtar as a shtar shichur, and therefore we can't compare the two cases. Rav says a different explanation. By kesef, kabalos rabbi garmalai. Shtar, kabalos achirim garmalai. You can't compare a shtar to kesef, because what happens by kesef? The owner receives the kesef, and he frees the eved. So that can be done by karchoi. The shtar, the eved, or somebody on behalf of the eved, has to pick up the shtar, and that cannot be done without his consent. So there are two ways that the Rishonim approach understanding Rava. Some Rishonim approach understanding Rava. The Rava is giving an entirely different explanation than Abaya. Abaya said that Kesef and Shtar are different, because Kesef, all Kesef is the same, not all Shtars are the same. Rav is giving a different explanation, that the mechanism of Shtar versus the mechanism of Kesef are very different mechanisms, and they cannot be compared. Others explain that Rav isn't really coming to fundamentally disagree with Abaya. Abaya's basic premise, that since the owner could sell the Eved to whomever he wants, therefore anybody could buy the Eved's freedom even without the Eved's consent, is a sound concept. Rav is only coming to answer the other question. If it's such a great concept, and therefore even if the Eved didn't consent, I could pay Kesef and get the Eved freed, even without his knowledge and consent, so why don't we say the same thing by Shtar? Says to that, Rav, you can't compare Shtar to Kesef. Because Kesef, I'm giving the owner money. And by Shtar, the owner's giving me a Shtar. So they're inherently different, and you can't use Kesef as a model for Shtar. This was the analysis of the opinion of the Rabbonim, of Rameya. Now we go into the analysis of the opinion of Chachamim. The Chachamim b'kesef aydei atzmai. Says the Gemara again. B'kesef, it seems that the Chachamim are teaching us, b'kesef aydei atzmai in, if he gives the money, fine, aydei chayim loy. Says the Gemara, my, even, why if somebody else is giving the money, is it not acceptable? Even if we'll explain that somebody's giving money on behalf of the Eved without his knowledge and consent, the Rabbonim's opinion, as we explained them earlier, is that it's a schus for the Eved to get out. And we know, I could do something on behalf of someone else's benefit even without his knowledge and consent. I only can't do to his detriment without his permission. So why is it strictly Aydei Atzmai? Why can't someone else do it on his behalf? So you explain, says the Gemara, Aydei Atzmai, Afidei Aydei Atzmai. That certainly someone else, according to Rabbanan, could give money on behalf of the Eved to get his freedom. The Mishnah is teaching us that even the Eved could give money on his own behalf. And what's the Mishnah teaching us? Contrary to what we learned earlier, and we're going to explain how later in this year, there is a possibility for an Eved to have his own funds. And it isn't automatically the Kol Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi. After they Atzmai, the Kamash from the Yesh Kinyan Eved below Rabbi. So our Mishnah is teaching us at this point, according to the opinion of Chachamim, that the Eved himself or someone else to give money and get him released. Before we go further, I saw a nice kasha. We've mentioned the machloikas of Ramei and the Chachamim, if it's a schus or a choiv for an Eved to be freed. The Rabbanan, as we just finished explaining, holds it's a schus. Ramei holds it's a choiv. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow Shir. The pasuk teaches us that if an owner damages an Eved, Shein v'ayin, the Eved goes out. So let's think about it. Not only did the Eved get damaged, but now he's being sent out. And he's being sent out, according to him, hey, it's not to his benefit. So why are we punishing him on top of already the fact that he got damaged? So Rishonim, the Rajba asked this kasha. And the Rajba says, a gevaldige aside. He says, of course Rameya holds that under normal circumstances, an Eved being freed is a chayv. It's not to his benefit. But even Rameya agrees that if the Eved has an owner that's damaging him, that certainly is chus. And therefore, if the owner hit him and damaged him, even Ramey agrees that it's a chus, get out. Now let's go continue the Mishnah. Ihochi aim a sefer. Let's continue learning the sefer in the Mishnah. B'shtar idei acherim. B'shtar, the halach is, al idei acherim. He can, v'lai idei atzmai. Question is, why only idei acherim? Why can't he pick up his own shtar shechur? For Kaimelon, don't we know that the halach, as we said earlier, is, v'gita b'yodai b'ayin kechot? So says the Gemara, again, v'chitema, how will we explain this line of the Mishnah? My idei acherim, af idei acherim. It doesn't mean only that he could pick up the get, shtar shechur, but somebody else could pick up the shtar shechur on his behalf. Why? So at this point, let's understand the opinion of the Rabbanim. By Kesef, the Rabbanim will hold both Ayidei Atzmai and Ayidei Acherim, he could be freed. And by Shtar, both Ayidei Atzmai and Ayidei Acherim could be freed. Gval de Gipshat. There's only one problem. The Mishnah is difficult to understand. What did the Chachamim do in our Mishnah? The Chachamim distinguish between Shtar and Kesef. They treat them in two separate clauses. Why? If they have the exact same din, they're both Shtar and Kesef, according to the Chachamim, and every goes out, b'nei dei atzmoi, b'nei dei acherim, so why did Mishnah have to put into two separate clauses? Nevinu v'nesnenu. The Mishnah should have said, b'kesef, b'shtar, b'nei dei acherim, b'nei dei atzmoi. No, we're talking to the Chachamim. In Rameo, we need to distinguish. But why did Chachamim have to separate it? The Chachamim could have treated it as one line. When the Mishnah quotes the opinion of the Chachamim, they shouldn't have turned it into two cases. They should have made one line. Says the Gemara, Ella, says the Gemara, the Kesef, according to the Chachamim, the din is indeed Bein Ayidei Acherim, Bein Ayidei Atzmai. Acherim, even without his consent, because it's a schus, Ayidei Atzmai, because the halach is that it's possible forever to have money without the rabbi having hands on it. B'shtar, Ayidei Acherim, v'lo Ayidei Atzmai. B'shtar, it only will work Ayidei Acherim, and not Ayidei Atzmai. Why? Because our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Why did we say, both when we explained Ramey's opinion and the opinion of Chachamim, Ayidei Atzmai, could he receive a shtar? Because we explained that the concept that we're very well familiar with of Gita V'yodoi Bo'an Kechot. Rav Shimon ben Elazar doesn't subscribe to that concept. The Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Af Al B'shtar Ayidei Acherim, the only way an Eved could work with a shtar is Ayidei Acherim, V'lo Ayidei Atzmai. He holds that we don't say Gita V'yodoi Bo'an Kechot, and therefore the Eved cannot receive a shtar. So now, summarizes the Gemara, Shalosh Machlokes V'dava. We have three opinions here. Ramey's opinion is that both Bekesef and Bishtar, Bekesef it's Ayidei Acherim, Bishtar it's Ayidei Atzmai. Where Chacham hold, as we just finished learning, that Bekesef uBishtar Bei Ayidei Atzmai Bei Ayidei Acherim, and Rav Shimon Loza's opinion is Bekesef it's Bei Ayidei Atzmai or Bei Ayidei Acherim, Bishtar it's Bishtar, it's only Ayidei Acherim, not Ayidei Atzmai. Amar Rava, my time of Rav Shimon Elazar, what is the reasoning for Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion? Gama lo lo mi isha. He learns Xer Shava lo lo mi isha. My isha at shiyotzi get l'shush en shaloi, avid nami at shiyotzi get l'shush en shaloi. And we need to understand this Gemara, and the ones that help us understand this Gemara are our Gedolim, Pnei Yeshua and Rabbi Chanan. The question when we approach this Gemara is as follows. The Gemara is asking what's the basis of Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, because he doesn't subscribe to Gita V'yodoi Bo'an Kechot, as if it's a problem not to agree to the concept of Gita V'yodoi Bo'an Kechot. So in my question, why is that such a big problem? Gita V'yodoi Bo'an Kechot is a chiddush. So because of Shimon ben Elazar doesn't subscribe to this chiddush, we have a kasha, my tama. So therefore, they explain as follows. In Masechta Gittin, we learned that there's a concept of Gita Yodei Bo'an Kechot. Everybody subscribed to that concept when we learned Masechta Gittin. It was a concept that was universally accepted. So now the kasha of the Gemara is, if by gittin, if by get isha, there's a concept of gita v'yodah b'ayin ke'echad, so now the question is, and we know, as we've learned, both in Masech the Gittin and in Masech the Kedushin, that there's a gzer shava of lola, which connects shtar shichur to shtar get, so of course we should say gita v'yodah b'ayin ke'echad. So how could Shimon Elazar disagree? That's the Gemara's kasha. What's the Gemara's teretz? Gemara's teretz is as follows. Of course he agrees to the gzer shava. He says, but what the shtar of a get and the shtar of shichur are very different. Why? Because what happens by get? The husband takes the get, Gadisha, and gives it to the wife. The wife and the husband are now one and the same. And that's why it's an effective get. By shtar shichur, who is he giving the shtar shichur to? To the Eved. But the Eved and the Odin are all one and the same. And since the Eved and the Odin are all one and the same, the Gzer Shava actually teaches us that it's not effective. So now what the Gemara is explaining is as follows. What the Gemara is explaining, it's fascinating. Rav Chanan makes this observation. He says, both the Rabbanim who subscribe to the concept of Gita V'yad Abayin Kechad, even by Shtar Shechur, and Rav Meir, who doesn't, Rav Shimon Elazar, I'm sorry, who doesn't subscribe to the concept, use the same Gzer Shava. The Gzer Shava, law, law. The Chachamim, very easy to understand. By get we say get to v'yad mekachad, ishtar shechur we say get to v'yad mekachad. Rav Shimon Elazar says no, ishtar shechur and ishtar isha have this difference. And that difference is all the difference in the world, why only by get isha can we say get to v'yad mekachad and not by ishtar shechur. So it's incredible. We're using the exact same Gzer Shava and getting opposite results. Rav Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim. Continue to Gemara. By Rava, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Eved Kanani, Ma Shiyasa Shliach, L'Kabu Gittay, Miyad Rabban. So as Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, the Eved himself, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, cannot receive the get. Why? Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar doesn't subscribe, as we've just finished learning, to the concept of Gita V'yad Abayin Kechad. Rav Shimon ben Elazar does, as our Mishnah teaches us, agree that if somebody else picked up the Shtar Shichur on behalf of the Eved, it's fine. So ask the Gemara. This is Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara. If somebody goes and picks up the Shtar Shichur on behalf of the Eved, specifically since we're subscribing to the concept that it's a Schus, the concept of the Rabbanim, that it's a Schus for the Eved to go out, great. But now, what will be the din if the Eved appoints somebody to be a Shliach? So when I appoint somebody to be my Shliach, he's me. The Eved himself can't get the Shtar. Because the problem. So now the question of the Gemara is, it may be worse if the Eved appointed somebody to pick up the Shtar Shichur on his behalf versus a case where somebody picked it up without his knowledge. That's the Gemara's question. Now Shiyasa Shlich L'Kabu Gita Miyad Rabbi. Could somebody else act as a Shlich? Do we say, Kivin the Gavar Lo Lo Mi'isha, since it's a Gzer Shava between Shtar Shichur and Shtar Get, Ki Isha. So he's treated like an Isha. Just like as we learned so many times in Masech the Gittin, that someone else could pick up a get on behalf of a woman, a shliach could pick up a get on behalf of a woman, so too can a shliach pick up a get on behalf of the Eved. A Duma, you can't compare the two. Because Isha, D-E, Motzim, Kabbalah, Geta, since the woman herself could obtain the get, so that's why shliach, Nami, Motzim, Mashva. She could appoint the shliach. However, Eved, who we just finished explaining according to Shimon Elazar, the Eloi Mekabel Gita, he doesn't have the ability to pick up his own get, because he doesn't say Gita V'yad B'kabayim Kechad, perhaps Shliach Nami Loi Matzve. Says Gemara, Bas the Boya, Hada Pashta. After he asked the question, he answered, we have Goma, Lo Lo Mi Isha, and the Gzer Shava teaches us Ki Isha. Just like an Isha could appoint a Shliach, an Eved could appoint a Shliach. So what do we see here? We're learning a Gevaldige Chiddush. We're learning that even though the Eved himself cannot pick up the get, he could point somebody to do it. So now, ask the Gemara, Elohad Amrev Huna, Berei Derev Yeshua, Hani Kahani. There's a very famous question. The Kahanim that do the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, who Shlichim are they? Shluchad Rechmaninu? They must be Shluchim of the Eibishta. of Kadosh Baruch Hu. This Agadatach Shlucha Didonenu, how can we say that they're our Shlichim? Mi Kamidi. Because what's Rav Huna's argument? How can one suggest that the Kohanim are our Shlichim? Mi Kamidi, that Nan Loi Matsinan Avdinon, that's something that I myself can't do. Vienu Matsa Avdala, and I could point somebody else to do it on my behalf. So that's Rav Huna's proof that the Kohanim are not Shluchi Didon, the Kohanim are Shluchi Rachmanim. And as Rashi explains, what do we need to know if Kohanim are Shluchi Didon or Shluchi Rachmanim? So Rashi explains it's very relevant. Because let's say I make a neder that I'm not allowed to have any benefit from you. And you're a Kohen. So if you're Shluch the Rachmana, you're not working on my behalf. But if you're Shluch the Don, you're working on my behalf. And Rav Huna's concept is, since I, the Yisrael, can't do this Avodah, it can't be your my Shliach. Ask the Gemara, but our Gemara just disproved that. For Avda, according to Shimon Elazar, Avid, di when Matz Mekabel Gita. He himself can't receive the get. Yet, the Shliach Matzi Mashri, he can't appoint a Shliach, says Gemara V'loihi. Yisrael is completely devoid. Yisrael can't bring a carbon ever. Eved shayach begitten, and Eved can be shayach begitten. The Tanya nirin hadvarim sheven mekiv begitten shel chaveroi miyad rabbi shel chaveroi avaloi miyad rabbi sheloi. Let's say somebody's an Eved, so as Rav Shimon Elazar indeed holds, he can't receive his own get, his own shtas shechur. He can pick up a shtas shechur for someone else. So we see that he has a connection. So the connection of an Eved to Shtas Shechur is there, albeit limited, versus the connection of Yisrael to Karban is completely not there at all. So I sort of a first ask an obvious question. They said, how can we even have a Havamina that the Kohanim are Shluchi Didon? We know the Gemara tells us, it's a pasuk, that not only Yisraelim can bring Karbanis, even Goyim can bring Karbanis. So nobody could suggest that the Kohanim are Shluchim of Goyim. There's no Shlichus by a Goy. So the fact that a Kohanim could bring a carbon on behalf of a Goy, shouldn't that be the biggest proof that Kohanim are Shluchim of Rachmana? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that when the Gemara here, and it's not only a Sugi here, it's a Sugi Masechta Nedarim, it's a Sugi Masechta Yuma, discusses if Kohanim Shluchim of Don or Shluchim of Rachmana, it's only regarding kabbonis that there's an obligation to bring. Certainly a carbon that there was no obligation to bring, the kahanim ashluchi d'rachmana. The Gemara's question is only regarding a carbon that I, the Yisrael, am obligated to bring, the various kabbonis. And the kahanim bring them on my behalf, what role do they play? So now the question is very well answered. A guy never has an obligation to bring a carbon. The only kabbonis a guy brings are the darim and the davis. So since a guy never has an obligation to bring a carbon, it's obvious that they're shluchei there, they're always going to be shluchei rachmana. I saw two very nice pshatim. One pshat is that some of Farshim suggest that this was exactly the machloikis between Kairach and Moshe and Aaron. Kairach said, Kalei the kulim kadoshim. Why did you take the kudah for yourself? We're the ones that bring the kabbonis. We're the ones that decide who should be our shlichim. You can't just take it. We should make the decision who should be our shlichim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kohanim aren't shlichim the Don, the Kohanim are shlichim the Rachmana. And it's not for Yisrael to decide who should be the Kohanim. And what was the ultimate proof that Moshe and Aaron's position was the correct one? That V'yotzat Mata Aaron, the stick sprouted. It was all Min HaShemayim that tremendous miracle happened to prove shlichim the Rachmana. I also saw another pshat. There's a debate between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Who should make the first move? Hashveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Some say v'nashuva. We have to make the first move. And others say Hashveinu Hashem. Hashem should make the first move. Shluchi d'dom? Is it our obligation to make the first move? Or shluchi d'rachmana? Should HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the first move? And the halach is Shluchi d'Rachmana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out towards us and asks us, come close to me, I will be very happy to accept you. So we learned in the Mishnah, B'vachi HaKesem Shalachayim. Ramei says, the Eved can't have his own money. Neima, B'Hokamifki. What's the machlokes? Ramei Sava, Ein Kinyan L'Revid B'Lei Rabba. An Eved cannot have money. Any money the Eved has is his owner's. V'Ein Kinyan L'Isha B'Lei Bala. The Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Kinyan L'Eved B'Loi Rabbi, Yesh Kinyan L'Isha B'Loi Balam. So sort of Mefarshim say that actually, even though the Gemara is comparing the situation between an Eved and his owner to Isha and her husband, they're not really completely the same. Because by an Eved, according to Ramea, as we're about to learn, under any circumstances, he can't have his own money. According to a woman, let's say a husband will give a woman a gift, his own wife a gift, and say, it's not mine. By an Eved, it wouldn't be meaningless. Even if the owner says, I'm giving it to you and it shouldn't be mine, it's technically impossible. If a husband gives a wife something and says, it's not mine, there everybody will agree it could be hers. Furthermore, even if we say, Ein kinyan l'isha b'lo bala, as we learned many times, his ownership is only the ownership of a nichsei malug. What does nichsei malug mean? That he only gets the payus. Whereas, when a Eved has something, the owner's ownership is not just a kinyan payus, it's a total ownership. Amar Rava, Amar Sheshes, everybody perhaps could agree to kulam ein kinyan l'i Eved b'lo rabbi, and everybody could agree that ein kinyan l'isha b'lo bala. So how is it possible, according to the Chachamim, that the Eved should have his own money? That somebody gave the Eved money and told him, but stipulated that your owner shouldn't have any rights to this money. Ramea says, as soon as he gives him the money, it becomes the Eved, which by extension becomes the owner. If he then says Amunas, his statement is klum kamalei. It's a meaningless statement. On the other hand, Rabbanan Tzavalei, kim de amalei Amunas, since when I gave the Eved the money, I made a stipulation that Amunas ein l'rabach rishus boy, ahana le tanai. So when Rishonim ask, according to Ramea, fine, we could understand why it's not an acceptable stipulation. But the question is, if I gave the Eved money, and I made a stipulation, Amnash Ein L'Rabbi Rishus Boy. Why, according to Ramea, is the halacha that the owner gets the money? If the stipulation is not a sustainable stipulation, the money should go back to the giver. So there are Rishonim that indeed suggest that that's the din. The din is that the whole stipulation is not valid, and the whole gift is not a gift, and it goes back to the giver. But that's not Pash Peshat in the Gemara. So the pshat that I saw that the Rishonim saying, we've actually said this pshat here previously, is we know that there's a concept of masna mashikos b'Torah. If you make a tanai against what the Torah says, the tanai is meaningless. And what happens? That doesn't cancel what you said. Because as the Mefarshim explained, the entire concept that tanai has validity in halacha is a chiddush. So when you follow the proper rules, the tanai is a tanai. When you don't follow the proper rules, the tanai becomes as if it was never said. And all that's left is the original statement that it's yours. Rav Elazar Amar, Kol Kai Gavna, if the stipulation was made that I'm giving you money, Amnash Ayin L'Rabach U'Shusboi, the Kula Amar L'Pligi, there is no machloikus between Ramei and the Chomim. Everybody agrees, the Kani Eved, the Kani Rabbi. The stipulation can't stop the halacha. What is the case here? To go into Achim Loi Achim Mona, somebody gave the Eved money. This money should be used specifically to gain your freedom. Ramei said that that stipulation still is not helpful. The owner gets hands on the money. And even though if he makes a stipulation afterwards, Laf Klum. He didn't give it to the Eved. What he said was, all he said was that you can only use this money on the condition that you go out to freedom. And as the Rashba explains the Gemara, the Rashba explains as follows. You can't, according to Rabbi Lozer, one cannot stipulate that the Eved has money that the owner doesn't have rights to. There's halacha kamash kana avid kana rabbi. You can't fight that in. But you can stipulate that he's not giving the Eved money. He's giving freedom. He's not saying that the Eved should own the money. And therefore, even And therefore, in that case, the Rabbanan will hold Kama Shikon Eved, that therefore, in that case, the Rabbanan will hold that the Eved can have his own money. There is a Machloikis Rishonim. Reb Elazar doesn't agree with Reb Sheshes, meaning that according to Reb Elazar, Gemara says it explicitly, if somebody gives Eved money, Amnash Enlech Rabbach Rishosboy, it's a meaningless statement. What, however, asked the Rishonim, will be Reb Sheshes' opinion regarding Reb Elazar. That means, according to Reb Sheshes, according to Reb Sheshes, according to Reb Meir, what will be the din if somebody gives an Eved money, Amnash Tetz by Lechavshi? Some Rishonim suggest, and it's easier to follow such an approach, that Reb Sheshes will agree that it's still a subject of Machloikis. So they're not really having such a deep Machloikis. However, other Rishonim say that it could be that Reb Sheshes will agree that in those circumstances, even Ramey will agree that the Eved could have his own independent money, and since he could have his own independent money, Yotzber Lecheiris that way. But now the question is, if that indeed is the case, so then why does Ramey in our Mishnah say that he can never have his own money? If everybody agrees by such a Tanai, according to Reb Sheshes' understanding. So Mepharshim say, because that's not considered the Eved's money. If the money was given it's not considered the Eved's money, and since it's not considered the Eved's money, that's why it's not the case where he could go out Ayidei Atzmai, Kesef Ayidei Atzmai.